A quick warning, this episode contains discussion of suicide. The Korean pop sensation BTS recently announced that its members are taking a break to pursue solo projects. That break presses pause on a discography that's farther reaching than casual fans might think, so we thought now would be a good time to showcase some of the discoveries in the BTS catalog. I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we are talking about BTS's Deep Cuts on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us today is Lenica Cruz. She's a senior editor at The Atlantic, and she's the author of the forthcoming book on BTS, Sincerity, Pop Music, Fandom. Welcome back, Lenica.
Thanks so much, Stephen. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. And making her Pop Culture Happy Hour debut is Regina Kim. She's an entertainment writer focusing on Korean pop culture. Welcome to the show, Regina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it is a pleasure. So a couple of quick clarifications up front. BTS has recorded a lot of songs in its 9-year history, so there's no way to really be exhaustive here. Also, when we say that BTS is taking a break, no one is entirely sure what that means. The group is not calling this a breakup or a hiatus, just an opportunity for its members to work on other projects for a while. J-Hope, for example, is set to release a solo album on Friday. BTS's management company just signed a streaming deal with Disney that will include a concert film and a docuseries. So it's fair to consider the BTS catalog a work in progress. Now, that said, we did want to provide a deeper look into the BTS archives. I consider myself a casual fan of BTS. I love Dynamite and Butter and Spring Day and other songs US fans commonly associate with BTS, but I've never seen one of their concerts in person, and I haven't dug deep into their discography. So we recruited a couple of experts who might help fans like me dig deeper. Regina Kim, I'm going to start with you. Give me a BTS deep cut.
Yeah, so the first song that I want to talk about is called Anpanman. And the title of the song, Anpanman, is actually the name of a Japanese cartoon character that was created by this author named Takashi Yanase. And the character first appeared in children's picture books in the 1970s, and then it was later adapted into an anime series that became super popular among children in Japan. And Anpanman was also popular in Korea in the 1990s, although in Korea they called him Hokbangmen. But Anpanman is a very unconventional superhero. His face is literally a round pastry ball filled with sweet red bean paste. and the Japanese call this pastry Anpan, hence the name Anpanman. Anpan is really delicious. I highly recommend trying it if you haven't yet.
So good.
Yeah. And what Anpanman basically does is he helps people in need by breaking off pieces of his face for them to eat. And he's highly vulnerable. He becomes very weak if anything happens to his head. So, for example, if people eat parts of it, he gets weak. And so because of all this, he's called the world's weakest superhero.
I love it.
But, you know, he has a very big heart, and he's also very kind and brave and giving. And so this whole Anpanman series is about teaching kids to help others. And so I think it's very telling that in this song, BTS chose to compare themselves, like, not to Superman or to Spider-Man, but to Anpanman, the world's weakest superhero. BTS is essentially saying that, you know, similar to Anpanman, like, all they have to offer is their music, but they believe that they can still provide people with strength and hope through their music. And they're also telling us that, you know, we don't have to be strong or powerful or have special talents to be a hero to someone.
Love it. Let's hear it.
That was such a good clip you picked, Regina.
Thanks.
Nice. All right, Lenica, give us your pick.
The song is called Run, and it's the lead single from their fourth EP, The Most Beautiful Woman in Life, Part 2. It's one of BTS's title tracks and was even included on their recent anthology album. But I chose this song because run, the word, and the motif of running recur throughout their music and outside of it. And lyrically, many of their songs mention this impulse to run ahead, this almost mindless drive to strive and achieve and succeed at all costs. And I should mention that most of the group's members are credited as producers on this track. Run is a mix of alternative rock and hip hop. It swerves from intense rapping to sentimental vocals, from shouting to singing that sounds almost like a whisper or a plea. And the song itself is just incredibly catchy, and you might be surprised to learn it's extremely good for running too.
Nice. I'm not a runner, but I did a little bit of running in place. People listening at home can't see the head bobbing and lip syncing that goes on during these conversations when the song's playing. So, Regina, what is your next pick?
Yeah, so the next song that I chose is Butterfly, and it's from their 2015 album, The Most Beautiful Moment in Life, Part 2. And I chose this song because I thought the melody is really beautiful and the lyrics are very emotional. But it's like one of those songs where, like, if you just listen to it for the first time, like on the surface, it seems like a simple love song about, you know, someone who's asking their beautiful lover to stay by their side. But like so many other BTS songs, there's also a deeper meaning behind the lyrics. And there's so many possible meanings and interpretations to this song. Like many interpretations say that it's a song essentially about, you know, being afraid of losing someone that you really love. So in this case, the butterfly could be a symbol for a person who might at any moment disappear from your life, whether it's through death, a breakup, a divorce, or something else. And many of the song's lyrics really reinforce this image of the butterfly being fragile and never staying in one place for very long. Some listeners have said that, you know, they think the butterfly could also be a metaphor for how fleeting time is. Like, you know, all those big moments in our lives that we wish we could hold on to forever, but they never last. They just kind of float away like a butterfly. Mm. But I have to say that I think probably the most powerful interpretation of the song that I've seen is that it's about loving someone who has suicidal thoughts, like whether that's you yourself or someone you know. And it's about reminding them how much they're loved by the people around them. And if you go on YouTube and if you read some of the comments that people have posted about this song, it's kind of mind-boggling to see how this single song has apparently saved a lot of people from their deepest moments of despair. Like whether that's having thoughts of suicide or losing a loved one or something else. I'd say that Butterfly is one of the group's quintessential songs that really show why BTS has attracted so many loyal fans around the world. I mean, when the ARMY says that BTS songs deal with mental health and accepting yourself for who you are, like, this is what they mean. Like, this is one of their representative songs.
Yeah, it's interesting talking about the lyric translation videos and how important it is, I think, for BTS fans to share the translations of these songs. You know, I produced a BTS Tiny Desk concert a couple years ago, and just the outpouring from fans of the group, not only like appreciating that video, but wanting translations, asking us to make sure that we were posting translations because it was very, very important for fans of the group that casual observers know what those songs meant, that they weren't just pretty songs or they weren't just catchy songs. They were songs that were infused with a lot of meaning.
I think a lot of ARMYs have songs like that, that trigger something within them, whether or not they understand the lyrics. And I'm really happy you're here to talk about the lyrics, Regina. And that, Stephen, you mentioned the outpouring of demand for things to be translated, because, I mean, this is really what I think BTS fans do, is some casual observers or listeners might not care, but when you become a fan of them, you really do deep dives into their lyrics. And listening to a BTS song as a non-Korean speaker requires a lot of humility, but also like a desire to learn. And I think it's something that really bonds people together, is just being able to share that experience.
Yeah, wonderful point. All right, Lenica, give us your next pick.
So my next pick is Paradise, which is from what I would consider their masterpiece of an album, Love Yourself Tear, which came out in 2018. And I chose this song because it has the rare distinction of being one of the few Korean songs BTS has never performed live. So this is a true deep cut. And because ARMY loves an underdog, this is one of the most beloved songs, I would say, of the fandom. It's an underappreciated gem. And I wanted to just discuss Paradise because lyrically, it offers an interesting and instructive contrast to Run. It sounds very fresh and upbeat, and it builds to this ending where they're all kind of chanting, singing together, "Stop running for nothing, my friend." And it's very cathartic. Stop running for nothing, my friend. The song doesn't assume that young people or listeners are lazy or aimless and in need of discipline. It tells them that running is not an inherently virtuous activity and that it's okay to stop for a moment and to just appreciate the moment where they are, whether they're feeling happy or sad. And it tells them that they're not defined by the dreams they do or don't have, that simply existing and appreciating your existence can be enough.
I really like that song too. And something that you see in a lot of both Korean songs as well as K-dramas that are being made nowadays is a lot of them touch on this idea of South Korea being a super competitive society. And so I think, through this song, like BTS is also reminding, people in their home country that, you know, they don't have to feel pressure to do what everyone else around them is doing. Like they don't have to, go through that same pressure cooker.
I love that.
So obviously, we can't be completely comprehensive here. BTS has a huge catalog, but we did want to get a couple more highlights in. Regina, why don't you give us your last pick?
Yeah, so my last pick is 팔도강산. It's also known as Saturi Rap, and it's from BTS's second album, Oh, Are You Late Too, that came out in 2013. And I'd say it's probably their most quote-unquote Korean song because the meaning and the nuances of the song can be a bit hard to understand if you're not Korean. So to start off, just breaking down the song's title, 팔도강산. So 팔 means 8. Do means province, Gang means river, and San means mountain. So if you take all of that, it literally translates to all the rivers and mountains of the 8 provinces of Korea. And it's sometimes used as a fancy way of referring to Korea as a beautiful country. And other times, it's simply used when you're talking about Korea as a whole. And the alternative title for this song is Saturi Rap. And I would say that's probably a more representative title for the song because Saturi means dialect in Korean. And the whole song is basically this fun and hilarious rap battle between the BTS members who are singing and rapping in their regional dialects. So in this song, you hear BTS mention some of the provinces in the refrain. You also get to hear BTS mention some regional stereotypes that a lot of Koreans are familiar with. So for example, there's a saying that men from Gyeongsang province tend to be manly and handsome. And some people say that people from Cholla province have a very friendly way of talking. Obviously, these are just stereotypes, and there are many Koreans out there who disagree with either or both of these stereotypes. And then later in the song, you have RM, who is the leader of BTS, and he basically comes in and says something along the lines of, like, "Hey, you country bumpkins, like, okay, these dialects may be cool, but having a Seoul accent is still the standard way of speaking Korean." Yeah. And to understand like where he's coming from, you like have to know that like Seoul is very much the political, economic, and cultural capital of South Korea. I mean, like to Koreans, like it is essentially like Washington, D.C., New York, L.A., and San Francisco all like rolled into one. And generally speaking, like people from Seoul are considered to be like more sophisticated than people from other parts of Korea. And that's partly because they speak with a Seoul accent. And it's kind of like how a lot of Americans feel like, you know, people with a British accent sound smarter. And so RM, you know, starts off sounding like a bit elitist, but then his tone like suddenly shifts in the song and he kind of like starts acting as a peacemaker. And then he ends this part by saying like, why keep fighting when in the end it's all the same Korean language? And he basically says that, you know, we're all like, you know, one Korea under the same sky. And although we may have different dialects, at least we can all understand each other.
I love just being able to delve into these songs a little bit and just hearing some of the meanings behind them, because a lot of the songs that have really hooked me into BTS as an American fan has been songs like Dynamite and Butter, which as incredibly catchy as they are, if you break down the lyrics are basically just lists of hashtags.
That sounds accurate.
It's like a lot of slogans kind of strung together, and like, and they're so impeccably catchy, and I love those songs, do not get me wrong, but they don't necessarily feel like they're infused with a ton of much deeper meaning. And so it's really fun to hear you guys talk about these songs and understand how much thought is put into them and how much meaning they have for people beyond just how catchy they are, which they are still very, very catchy. Now, Lenica, I know your last pick is meaningful and catchy. Why don't you hit me with it?
The song that I picked to end on is called Dis-Ease, or that's the English translation, Dis-Ease, so Dis-Ease. And this is a more recent song from their album B, which is their largely self-written, self-produced album that actually wasn't supposed to exist. It only exists because the pandemic happened. The song and the album are steeped in the emotional turmoil of the pandemic. They're very attuned to the sense of loss and claustrophobia and anxiety that so many people were feeling, and many people are still feeling. And in particular, the song is about the disease of overwork and of being forced to rest and to do nothing and hating it and then pathologizing the fact that you don't want to stop working. And I think Dis-Ease is one of the all-time great OT7 songs. And OT7 just means that all seven of the members are on the song, as opposed to their subunit or solo songs. And I think each member really shines in the style that most suits him. Both the rap line and the vocal line do some of their best and most dynamic work on this song. This song has so much energy, and it's the kind of track that I hope BTS wants to make more of whenever they decide to make music again as a group of seven. I think it really shows what they're capable of as a septet, and there aren't too many voices or sounds in the mix, and they really achieve this balance and harmony. It just sounds very them. Which is to say that the song is very playful, serious, sincere, and also cool.
Well, we've just skimmed the surface of the BTS catalog.
It was so hard to pick only three songs. Like, I went back and forth. I'm sure you did too, Regina.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, before we go, I did want to ask you both one last question since we're talking about BTS. Mm-hmm. BTS has been in the news a lot about taking this break. J-Hope is headlining Lollapalooza this summer and releasing a solo album. So that kind of seems like the next chapter for BTS is going to be maybe unveiling more solo projects. What are you two hoping is next for BTS and for its members?
I mean, personally, I would love to see each BTS member do collaborations with Korean indie artists and singer-songwriters. I mean, and like, I know that BTS has done such collaborations in the past, and partly thanks to those collaborations, like many people around the world, especially members of the ARMY, have come to discover all these talented Korean artists that are popular and well-respected in Korea, but not as well-known outside of Korea. And so, you know, I hope that the various BTS members will continue to do those types of collaborations because, you know, obviously there are so many different kinds of music in Korea. You know, there's like, there are ballads, there's folk rock, punk rock, rap, trot, like you name it, like Korea has it all. But like, I think a lot of Americans tend to forget that sometimes. And I feel like Western media and mainstream Western audiences like tend to overly focus on idol K-pop. And I mean, frankly, like many Koreans nowadays don't even listen to idol K-pop. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think BTS, like just, you know, through their sheer star power, could help introduce like some of these other, you know, Korean artists to a broader audience. And also like, you know, it sounded like sometimes they had to sacrifice their own individual hopes because they always had to put the interests of the group first. So like, I hope that each member will be able to take this time to recharge and just do the things that he has always wanted to do.
I want for them to make the music that they feel like they want to put out into the world, the art they want to put out into the world, and to be able to spend a little bit less time outside of the public eye of feeling like they need to be churning out new content constantly, and to know that they've given their fans so much music that they can constantly go back to, and that they can really take this time to release what they want to collaborate with whom they want to. I hope that fans can just support them while they do that.
Yeah, I just think there's such an impulse to strike while the iron's hot. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine the pressures on them to generate content, right? Like while they're the biggest band in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted, frankly, to see them able to prioritize their mental health, which if you're a fan of the group, you want your favorite group to prioritize its mental health, not only because they're human beings and you root for them as human beings, but because breaks are good for artists. Breaks are good for everybody. Everybody needs it. And I hope they actually get to take some time off instead of just shifting to cranking out solo projects at the same pace that they've been cranking out group projects. Well, I'm delighted to have you both here. It has been so fun to dig deeper into these songs. I can't wait to dig deeper into these songs myself. We want to know what you think about BTS at home. What are your favorite BTS deep cuts? Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Lenica Cruz, Regina Kim, thanks so much to both of you for being here.
This was amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. Had a great time.
It was a joy. This episode was produced by Candace Lim, Mike Katzeff, and Taylor Washington, and edited by Jessica Reedy. Hello Come In provides the music you are bobbing your head to right now. I'm Stephen Thompson, and we will see you all tomorrow.